It's 15 December. It's Wednesday. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the Wednesday CG Report. Plague of the vaccinated. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. All right, third time in a row I'm going to do this because it just keeps coming up in the news. People who have just died suddenly, and they've given no reason for their death. I'm not saying that all of these people died of vaccination, but we can make an assumption that several or quite a few of them did, because they're not revealing why people died, which is what they normally do. From Wales Online, tributes paid to town's Mr. Fix-It, known as Mick the Cobbler, who has died suddenly. Mick Mason, who ran Cobbler's Cabin on Rifleman's Way, passed away on Saturday at the University Hospital of Wales following a short, undisclosed illness. That was back on 12/7. Next, from 12/8, from the Mirror, heartbroken husband shares final moments with wife who died suddenly after collapsing. Samantha Kimber, 52, died on November 29th after collapsing with a bleed on her brain just days earlier, as her devastated husband shares how they will celebrate her life over Christmas. This type of problem has been reported with several of the vaccines in the UK. We can assume that it was probably a vaccine that did her in. Next, again from 12/8, Cornwall Live, family of Saltash Baby, who died unexpectedly, say he will be sadly missed and forever in our hearts. Following his death, his parents Mia Welch and Corey Snell became suspects in a criminal investigation after medical examination revealed a small bleed on his brain. So they're checking out the parents, but the child has a bleed on his brain and they're vaccinating little kids over there. We'll see where that one goes. Maybe we'll get an answer to that next week. From 12/9, KIRO7, Seattle firefighter dies suddenly before a shift. A Seattle firefighter died suddenly before his shift. Matt Runty, a firefighter and EMT, passed away. At this time, there is no cause of death. From Newsweek, from 12/8, Sweet Beaver, known for sleeping with blankies, died suddenly. Fans are heartbroken. Little Beaver died suddenly. I wonder if somebody gave it a Pfizer jab. From MLB, the Royals are saddened by death of Jim Fregosi Jr., Jim Fregosi Jr., Royals special assistant to the general manager and a longtime scout, died unexpectedly. He was 57. From Mass Live, this is from 12/10, Demaryius Thompson, dead at 33. Longtime Broncos WR, was with Patriots briefly in 2019. Longtime NFL receiver Demaryius Thomas, who was briefly with the New England Patriots, died suddenly. According to Roswell Police, police say preliminary information suggests Thomas' death stemmed from a medical issue. From the Daily Voice, beloved Warren County native Alan Bird dies suddenly at age 35. Bird graduated from Warren Hills High School in 2005, his obituary says. From the Daily Voice, 12/10, musician Jeremy Jackson dies suddenly at 18. Born in Pequannock, Jackson grew up in Sussex and graduated from High Point Regional High School in Wantage. From The Guardian, 12/11, Trident Submariner, who died at base, named as Stephen Cashman, a 25-year-old Trident Submariner who died in unexplained circumstances at the Foss Lane Naval Base, has been named as Engineering Technician Stephen Cashman by the Royal Navy. From Mail Online, EDM artist Charles I passes away at the age of 25 in a Nashville hotel room from unconfirmed causes. Could have been a drug OD for all I know, but it could be a Pfizer jab too. Let's see, from the Daily Voice, from 12/12, firefighter in Westchester who was high school football player dies suddenly at age 27. From WLWT, Brock Vogel, remembering Anderson High School senior who died. That was back on 12/7, but a couple days later, from the same station, WLWT, on 12/13, second Anderson High School student dies in a week. An Anderson High School student has died suddenly. the second student death at the school in 1 week. Skylar Dew, a senior at the high school, died unexpectedly in her sleep. No further information on her death was provided. Dew is the second student that died within 1 week. On Tuesday, school officials announced the passing of Brock Vogel, who played football, baseball, and wrestled. Vogel's cause of death has also not been released. I imagine that the school is having a vaccine campaign. From WPXI on 1213, Cal U hockey player dies unexpectedly. According to the university officials, Branson King was 23 years old and had just finished the fall semester of his junior year. It's not clear what led to his death. From 7 News on 1213, Jessica Loomis Fairbrother, 40, formerly of Carthage, died unexpectedly at Rome Memorial Hospital. No explanation on any of those. There are several others, but they were getting a little older and they might have punched their ticket naturally, so I didn't include them. But there you go. Died suddenly. I've got something to read you here from Eugippius. And it's a very unusual article. It's rather hard to understand because it's very technical. I cut some of that out. And we'll go ahead and just go with it. Original antigenic sin is a real and very serious reason to stop vaccinating everyone. In September, a small study conducted by researchers at the Erasmus Medical Center in Rotterdam looked at the antibody response of 20 severely ill corona patients admitted to the ICU, comparing their cases to 12 mild infections and 6 negative controls. They found that the immune response of the severely ill, unlike that of the mild patients, was dominated by IgG antibodies against ordinary seasonal coronaviruses. In other words, the most severely ill patients had fewer naive B cells imprinting on SARS-CoV-2 and more memory B cells producing antibodies against the somewhat similar common coronaviruses these patients had recovered from in the past. As the authors note, this is the phenomenon of original antigenic sin. The immune system of these severely ill patients were trained by many years of exposure to the mild alpha and beta coronaviruses that routinely infect humans to send these same common coronavirus antibodies against SARS-2. These antibodies were ineffective against the new virus, and they inhibited a robust naive B cell response. We now have a second higher quality study from researchers at St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, confirming and expanding upon these results. They recruited a cohort of 1,202 hospital staff who provided an initial blood sample to establish their baseline antibodies to common coronaviruses. They were then given regular PCR tests for SARS-2 every week, regardless of symptoms. By the end of the study, 121 participants had tested positive for symptoms. By the end of the study, 121 participants had tested positive for SARS-2, and their antibody response was compared to their prior common coronavirus antibody levels to see what correlations could be found. A comparison of infected participants to the 1,081 participants who remained uninfected showed that levels of common beta coronavirus antibodies did not predict the likelihood of SARS-2 infection. The numbers are small, but still, it looks like cross-immunity, at the level of antibodies anyway, won't protect you against infection. Study participants were generally younger and almost none of them suffered severe disease. To see how the severity of infection might nevertheless correlate with prior common coronavirus antibody levels, the authors decided to use the antibody response to SARS-2 as a proxy for severity of infection. They assumed, reasonably, that the more antibodies your body produces in response to SARS-2, the greater your response to replicating virus, and the more severe your infection. They found that higher levels of IgG antibodies to the common beta coronavirus HCoV-OC43 corresponded to increased post-infection IgG antibodies against SARS-2. The more OC43 antibodies you have in your blood before SARS-2 gets you, in other words, the more freely SARS-2 can replicate in your body. we see again that memory response to OC43 interferes with the ability of naive B cells to imprint upon and develop a more specific and effective antibody response to corona. I'm skipping the middle part now, which was all technical stuff. We'll go down to the end. The severity of corona infection varies widely across the population. Children have generally mild or asymptomatic infections, while adults have a wide range of responses. Everyone always assumed that cross-immunity was part of the answer to this conundrum. The problem is that, at least as far as antibodies go, it is shaping up to be a not very reassuring part of that answer. The innate and nonspecific immune response of children looks more and more like a big part of the reason they are spared severe infection. Adults with immune systems tightly calibrated to the common human coronaviruses, meanwhile, often have more severe symptoms. They suffer from original antigenic sin. Over 4.2 billion people across the earth have received at least one dose of vaccine against SARS-2. The majority of these vaccines have elicited antibodies only against an early form of the spike protein that is no longer in circulation. This would seem to be one reason why many Western countries with high vaccination rates appear to have locked themselves into an indefinite phase of heightened SARS-2 transmission. In the UK, 96% of adults have antibodies to the spike protein, most of these first acquired by vaccination. Shortly after they concluded their vaccination campaign, cases skyrocketed, and they have remained high ever since. Original antigenic sin is a real phenomenon. It seems not only to permanently influence the immune response to the spike protein itself, but also to inhibit the development of antibodies to other SARS-2 proteins. A worst-case scenario would be a future spike mutation that entirely escapes the anti-spike antibodies elicited by our vaccines. In this case, it seems possible that many vaccinated people will be stuck with permanently suboptimal immune responses. If Omicron is indeed circulating primarily among the vaccinated, as some data suggests, this would seem to be one possible reason why. These concerns are particularly acute in the case of children, who may well be exposed to the risk of very serious illness in the future if vaccination permanently misdirects their immune system. In other words, people that are getting their vaccines are getting more likely to get a worse case of coronavirus if another strain comes out. Give vaccines to children, and that's going to happen to them, when right now it would not normally happen to them. From Zero Hedge, New Zealand Prime Minister admits there's not going to be an end point to this vaccination program. Let's just kill the entire nation. New Zealand Prime Minister Ardern has candidly revealed that there's not going to be an end point to this vaccination program. Yes, really. Do you know? I don't think I'll ever be satisfied so long as there's someone who is eligible and hasn't been vaccinated, she added. From the Epoch Times, this is from 12/11, U.S. states have confirmed Omicron variant cases most among the vaccinated. Okay, we just read that about the antigenic original sin, and this is being confirmed by the articles that I'll read you now. What a dumb thing that woman in New Zealand is doing without checking things out. Ohio and Rhode Island became the 28th and 29th states to report cases of the Omicron virus variant. Ohio officials said two cases were detected, both of which were among persons who were fully vaccinated. Rhode Island officials confirmed one case. The patient is fully vaccinated. Across 29 states, 110 cases have been reported. Officials disclosed the vaccination status of 66 of the infected individuals. Of the vast majority, or 52, were fully vaccinated. Some had even gotten booster shots. Most of the Omicron cases in the United States have been among the vaccinated, the CDC said in an update. If you're unvaxxed, you're probably safe against Omicron. That's what we're learning right now. And you're probably safe against all of the other variants that are going to come out of this coronavirus epidemic. From GGI, booster shots fail to keep 7 triple vaccinated Germans from contracting Omicron COVID variant. From BBC, COVID, first UK death recorded with Omicron variant. This was yesterday, or 2 days ago, I'm sorry. There are 4,713 confirmed cases of the Omicron variant, Mr. Javid said, although the true figure is believed to be much higher. Guess what they failed to report? His vaccination status, and you know that they know that already, and they're not reporting it. So that means that this guy was fully vaccinated, probably booster shot and triple booster shot after that, plus going and getting the Sputnik and the Sinopharm virus vaccines. And what happens? He gets the Omicron, and he dies from it. From the Jerusalem Post. That's all speculation, though. I'm not saying that happened. That's just Charlie Garrett's speculation. From the Jerusalem Post, three shots of Pfizer COVID vaccine are 4 times less effective against Omicron. Does that not support what I read you about the antigen original sin that they're talking about? It sure does. The neutralizing ability of even three shots of the Pfizer Corona vaccine is 4 times less against the Omicron than the Delta variant. And guess what? It didn't work with the Delta variant very well either, did it? According to researchers at the Sheba Medical Center, that Delta variant, the booster for that worked for about 23 seconds. It didn't work at all for the Omicron. What is it? It's 4 times less effective. From CFP, Middlebury College declares COVID emergency. Whoop, 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 because 99% of the students are vaccinated. A private liberal arts college in Vermont reverted to remote learning until the close of the fall semester due to 50 active COVID cases on campus. Final exams will be administered remotely, and students, 99% of whom are fully vaccinated, are encouraged to leave the campus early. Guess what they're going to do? They're going to blame the one person that isn't vaccinated with all of that. That's what they're going to do. Mail online. Wisconsin wedding attended by fully vaxxed medical experts turns into Omicron super spreader. A wedding in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, attended by many medical experts, was found to be the source of an Omicron super spread in Oakland, California. Kaiser Permanente confirmed 11 of their employees had attended the event and tested positive for COVID, exposing 38 co-workers and patients. All fully vaccinated, all little Omicron super spreaders. That's what's going on here. Zero Hedge, COVID fact check. ICUs are filled with the unvaccinated. That's what they're still telling people in the UK with headline after headline. They did a fact check. Is it true? In a word, no. ICUs are not full of unvaccinated COVID patients. They're not even full of COVID cases. In fact, they're not even full at all. As of last week, NHS England's own bed statistics reported that England has 4,330 available critical care beds, of which 894, 21%, are being used by COVID patients, 2,608, 60% non-COVID patients, and 828, 19% were empty. So, England's critical care beds are not even 90% full, let alone 90% full of unvaccinated COVID patients. According to the UK's Health Security Agency data, page 31 of this document, 6,639 patients were admitted to hospital with COVID in the weeks 44 through 47 of this year. Of those, 2,355 were unvaccinated. That means of the remaining, they are vaccinated 64%. I know because I did the numbers, 64% of the people are vaccinated and they're getting COVID and they're getting the variants of COVID and they're going to die because they got vaccinated. From GB News, Omicron causing 200,000 new infections per day, Sajid Javid tells MPs. I think he's making that number up. If they have 200,000 new infections a day in the UK, the entire UK would be completely infected in the next 37 seconds. Anyway, I think he's probably making that up, but it's a lot of numbers and is all vaccinated people. The NHS will need to exceed 840,000 booster jabs per day in a bid to fight Omicron. It ain't gonna work, I'll tell you that right now, which is causing around 200,000 new infections per day. Omicron is eating up the UK because the UK is highly vaccinated. From The Hill, Australia's deputy prime minister tests positive for COVID-19 on U.S. trip. guaranteed he's fully vaccinated. If he's traveling here, you know he is. From the Times of Israel, South African president tests positive for COVID, treated for mild symptoms. He is fully vaccinated. From the Washington Post, Sao Paulo says it has fully vaccinated 100% of its adults. Will it be enough to stop Omicron? I'm reading you this not because I care about what they've done with their vaccination program, but because we now want to watch what they have done with their vaccination program. 100% of the adults have been vaccinated there. We'll go ahead and read it, and then you can figure it out. Sao Paulo, the largest city in the Western Hemisphere, announced late last month that it had succeeded where others had failed. 100% of its adult population had been fully vaccinated against the coronavirus. My guess is it ain't gonna work. Zero Hedge. TV show mysteriously deletes poll after vast majority oppose mandatory vaccination. Sounds typical for the news media. A major morning television show in the UK deleted a Twitter poll asking if vaccines should be mandatory after the results showed that 89% of respondents oppose compulsory shots. Yes, really. Good Morning Britain, which often tries to set the news agenda, posted the poll, which asked the public, with Omicron cases doubling every 2 days, is it time to make vaccines mandatory? The last screenshots Twitter users were able to obtain before the poll was wiped showed 89% oppose mandatory vaccinations, with just 11% in favor after a total of 42,000 votes. Rather amazing. From GGI, former top Australian basketball star Ben Madgan diagnosed with pericarditis after Pfizer vaccine. I think this is just the beginning of his worries. Ended up in the emergency room after taking the second Pfizer shot, wrote the 36-year-old. Diagnosed with pericarditis, the doctor said this is now common after the Pfizer shot, especially with teenage boys and young males. From the Gateway Pundit, Australian football player diagnosed with pericarditis after receiving first Pfizer shot. Team director quits and slams league's forceful jab policy. A top player with the Adelaide Crows was sent to hospital and diagnosed with pericarditis after receiving the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. Let's just kill him with the vaccine so we don't have to wait and have the coronavirus maybe kill him. From the Evening Standard, up to 300,000 people face heart-related illnesses due to coronavirus vaccines. You would think that's probably it. What do they blame it on in the UK? Post-pandemic stress disorder. People are so stressed that they have heart problems. I don't think so. I think they know very well what's going on is that these heart-related illnesses are solely related to getting the Pfizer vaccine or any of the other vaccines. They are killing people and they will continue to do so. From the Epoch Times, Pfizer CEO, I think we will need the fourth dose of COVID-19 vaccine. At this point, it was a very smart move on those who have not had any vaccines. These people are now going for their fourth jab of something that one kills people, two doesn't work, and three makes Pfizer very, very wealthy. From InfoLib, neocon Washington Post editor who trashed anti-vaxxers dies of sudden cardiac arrest. Washington Post editorial page editor Fred Hyatt, a bloodthirsty neocon who used his position to shill America into the war in Iraq and pushed forced vaccines, died after suffering sudden cardiac arrest. You hear my violin strings playing loud, don't you? From GB News, Abu Dhabi Foo Fighters cancel F1 concert for medical reasons. The Foo Fighters have called off their concert at the Formula One race in Abu Dhabi due to unforeseen medical circumstances. I wonder what that is. Will we ever find out? From GB News, Emma Raducanu forced to withdraw from Abu Dhabi event as she tests positive for COVID-19. Well, if she was going to Abu Dhabi, you know that she's already fully vaccinated. So how could that have happened? From Fox News, Arizona County could reduce jail population if more corrections officers don't get vaccinated. So they're threatening the people with letting people out of jail because you're not getting vaccinated when the vaccine can kill you. I don't think so. Epoch Times, Democrat governor declares COVID-19 emergency over. This is in Colorado. It may seem surprising. He's a Democrat, but I checked and he is up for election next year. So my guess is he wants to get reelected, and this is one of the ways he's going to do it. He says that if people aren't vaccinated at this point, it's their own darn fault if they get sick. And my thought is, if you keel over from getting the vaccine, it's your own darn fault. From the Epic Times, Air Force discharges 27 for refusing COVID-19 vaccine. This is just the start. The 27 are the first airmen to be administratively discharged for reasons related to the COVID-19 vaccine. All 27 were in their first term of enlistment and were younger and lower-ranking personnel. None of them sought any type of exemption, whether administrative, medical, or religious, and they were thus formally removed from service for having failed to obey an order. And it saved their lives. Certainly saved their lives. From Newsmax, Oklahoma, National Guard, vaccine refusal could end military careers. Well, getting the vaccine at this point could end your life. Zero Hedge, Navy destroyer number 2 officer fired over refusal to get COVID-19 vax or tested. A top-ranking U.S. naval officer was relieved of duty over his refusal to get the COVID-19 vaccine or get tested for the disease. Commander Lucian Kins, the USS Winston S. Churchill's second-in-command, reportedly applied for a religious exemption, which means absolutely nothing to the Democrats that are in power in this nation, which was refused by the Navy, of course, a decision he later appealed. Kins was relieved of duty due to loss of confidence in his ability to perform work duties. Kins was on track to become the destroyer's commander within the next 18 months. He saved his life. That's what he did. Epic Times. New Florida rule bars giving licenses to facilities housing illegal immigrant children. I love our governor. I love every decision he makes. This is wonderful, as are several others that I'm going to read you in a minute. New Florida rule bars giving licenses to facilities housing illegal immigrant children. An emergency rule issued by Florida authorities on Friday bars issuing or renewing licenses for any entities that house illegal immigrant children. Under the direction of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, the state DCF determined that the resettlement of such children does not meet the term evidence of need as defined by state law, and amended the state's administrative code to say as much while cracking down on licenses. The move is required to protect the health, safety, and well-being of all children in the state being cared for by child care entities, and in the absence of cooperative agreement between the state and the federal government regarding the illegal aliens. Facilities that are already housing the children will be able to keep housing them, but will face stricter regulations. If he remains in power, I guarantee you that he will say eventually there will be no new licenses for people that continue to house these people. We've got some that were found out right here in Sarasota, Florida, housing illegal immigrants. And these people will now be very heavily monitored. They're going to have restrictions on them. And hopefully they will have their licenses pulled for doing what they've been doing behind the backs of the people of this county and all over the state of Florida. From Breitbart, Ron DeSantis announces 6 proposals to crack down on corporations, left-wing NGOs aiding illegal immigration. Florida Governor DeSantis announced 6 legislative proposals with hopes to pass them into law through the legislature that would drastically crack down on corporations and NGOs who facilitate illegal immigration to the state. During a press conference on Friday, DeSantis announced a series of legislative actions to reduce illegal immigration across the state. The 6 proposals would be: 1, ban state and local agencies from doing business with or providing benefits to any private sector business or NGO that helps facilitate illegal immigration to Florida. 2, ban state agencies from renewing state contracts with transportation companies, such as airlines and bus services, that facilitate illegal immigration to Florida. 3, require private sector businesses and NGOs who facilitate illegal immigration to Florida to provide compensation to the state of Florida to cover all costs that fall on taxpayers. 4, mandate county and local jails as well as courts to collect immigration status data at the time of a suspect's arrest and conviction. The information would be reported to the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. 5, ban Florida officials from providing any discretionary benefits to illegal aliens, while state agencies and hospitals will be required to annually report taxpayer-funded expenses for illegal aliens. And 6, add the Florida Department of Economic Opportunity as an enforcer of E-Verify. I love our governor. He is doing great things for this state, and he is cleaning up the Democrats' mess in this nation that ends up in Florida. From Epic Times, DeSantis proposes $8 million in budget. That's a lot of money. How is he going to spend it? We need to make sure that we check on him and make sure he spends it wisely. Oh, this looks like a good reason. $8 million in budget to relocate illegal immigrants to Delaware and Martha's Vineyard. Florida Governor DeSantis set $8 million in his 2022-23 budget to transport illegal immigrants out of the Sunshine State. He proposed the spending in the Freedom First budget to protect against harms resulting from illegal immigration. The spending may include the transportation of unauthorized aliens located within Florida to other states or the District of Columbia. The governor listed Delaware, Biden's hometown state, and Martha's Vineyard, where Obama owns a mansion, as potential destinations to relocate the illegal immigrants. If you sent illegal immigrants to Delaware or Martha's Vineyard or some of these places, that border would be secure on the next day, he said. The White House and the Obama Foundation didn't respond immediately to requests for comments. DeSantis also encouraged more counties to participate in the ICE 287 program, under which individuals who have been arrested on criminal charges and are being booked into the county jails are asked about their immigration status. Good. Other proposed measures to reduce the harms of illegal immigrants include listing convicted illegal aliens on a public website. Man, do I love this guy. He is just putting it right in the face of these people. We have a very good governor. We all should pray that our elections in the next year will favor governors like this, that will favor senators and House members like this, so that we can get control of this nation and get control of it quickly, because it's being robbed away from us. Now, I'm talking to the people in the U.S., but you people in Australia or wherever you are, you have a responsibility to vote. You need to get out there and you need to do what is right as a citizen of your nation. If you have the ability to vote, you need to exercise your right, because if not, you've only got yourself to blame when your freedoms are robbed away. There are a lot of namby-pamby Christians out there that say they're too good to vote. Oh, I'm not going to vote, and it's not scriptural and all that. Listen, Paul was a Roman citizen, and he used his Roman citizenship every single time he could. He claimed it, I'm a Roman citizen, in order to advance his agenda, which was the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't do it if you're locked down by governments that are oppressive. You can't do it if you've been shot in the back of the head by a liberal government that doesn't like who you are and what you believe. You need to get out there and you need to vote. Now, having said that, I'd like to read you something pretty wonderful from the Word of God. We're just going to read something very short here, and then we'll talk about it for just a minute. I'm going to take you to the first book of the Bible. Can any of you tell me what the first book of the Bible is? Why not? Aren't you reading your Bible? It's called Genesis. The first book of the Bible, on the first page of the Bible, that would be chapter 1. On the first verse of the Bible, that would be chapter 1, verse 1, it says the following. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Listen, you look around you and you see all of the wonder and beautiful things that God has created, and you say to yourself, there's order, there's harmony, there's beauty, there's logic, there's morality. There's all kinds of things that work. I know man is the problem. We're the infected one, and we've got the sin, so we make everything go bad. I go outside quite often, and I say, God, what a beautiful world you have given us. And then I say, God, what a terrible world we have given you. But the fact is that what God has given us is perfect. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's we that have made it bad. But someday, the Lord promises to redeem the creation. He promises first to bring his people home out of this world. It's called the rapture. He's going to take us home, and then there's going to be a time on earth which is terrible. There's going to be destruction, and there's going to be death all over the world. Some of it is because of this coronavirus vaccine campaign that's going on. I know that. But There will be death and there will be famine and there will be hunger and there will be war, but we will be safe with the Lord when we're taken out at the rapture. And then after that, there's going to be a time on this earth, a 1,000-year period, where things will be very beautiful. It'll be like before the flood, probably, where the earth was very nice. People lived a long time. People will still die. There will still be wickedness, but it will be a great time on the earth. And then after that, there will be a time where the Lord judges all humanity. And after that, he will give us a new heavens and a new earth. It'll be perfect in all ways, and it will be without sin. And we'll be able to say, Lord God, what a wonderful thing you have done for us. And we'll be able to say, and we're not messing it up this time, because we are covered with the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us unto himself. And then from there, we will just spend eternity in the presence of God. Whatever he has planned, it'll never get boring. It'll never be anything but joy. But there's only one way that you can receive this, and that is by receiving Jesus Christ. It is he that is the perfect man that replaced the first man who fell. He can become your federal head if you will simply believe that God did what the Bible says he did for us. He died for us. He was buried, and he rose again. That is the gospel message. God asks you to believe that, that he, in fact, is the God-man who came to dwell among us and to give his life for our sins, and then to rise again to prove that he is who he said he is. And if you believe that simple message, the Bible says you will be saved. You're sealed with a guarantee, the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 tells you that. That's in the New Testament. Go check it out. Please come to Jesus Christ today and you will be freed from this terrible world that we keep making worse and worse and worse. Do it today. So such is the world in which we live. And from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your midweek CG report.